From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we talk about one controversial candidate running for governor in Kansas and how he may have profited off of anti-immigrant policies.
Why do I fight so hard for Kansas? That's easy.
Look at the owl we knit.
This is Matilda.
Kris Kobach is running on the Republican ticket for governor of Kansas.
I want my girls to grow up in a Kansas that's safe from crime and terrorism, that doesn't tax its citizens to death, and that has a...
Currently, he's the Secretary of State of Kansas. And if his name sounds familiar, it might be because in recent years, Kobach's been at the forefront of developing restrictive anti-immigrant policies in the United States. Kobach was involved with drafting Arizona's infamous SB 1070, better known as the Show Me Your Papers law, as well as a similar law in Alabama. Kobach's resume also includes helping to craft and defend anti-immigrant ordinances for a number of towns across the country. An investigation co-published by ProPublica and the Kansas City Star found that Kobach made a lot of money doing this, but the towns that hired him often didn't fare so well. I'm joined by ProPublica journalist Jessica Huseman to talk about her investigation. So where did your kind of interest in Kris Kobach, where did your interest begin?
I started covering elections right before the 2016 election, and he was sort of a minor player in the 2016 election in that he was one of those people that talked a lot about voter fraud, but he wasn't that big of a deal. And then as soon as he became the commissioner for Trump's Voter Fraud Commission, I started paying very close attention to him.
President Trump launching a new commission on election integrity. The move coming after President Trump raised questions about widespread voter fraud in the 2016 election.
He is a person that just has very extreme ideas about the way voting should work, who should be able to vote, and the way that administrators should go about securing the vote. And so that Trump was putting him in charge of the Voter Fraud Commission was very indicative of the direction of that commission.
We do know that there's a very large number, and it'll be impossible to ever know what the exact number is of non-citizens.
But it's not millions, right?
I think it probably was.
I think it's probably in excess
of a million.
I realize that the vast majority of his views on voting stem from his views on immigration.
As you know, I've been fighting to stop illegal immigration in cities and states across the country.
It's a no-brainer. If you really want to create jobs for Americans, we need to start aggressively enforcing our immigration laws and looking after our own citizens first.
If you look at the DACA amnesty, people talking about it as if this is an amnesty for some kids. Now, the average age is 24. These are illegal aliens in their 20s and 30s. We would be legalizing almost a million of them to compete against our kids.
So tell us a little bit about Kris Kobach and his background. Like, where is it that he starts getting these hardline views on immigration?
You know, it's kind of hard to nail down. He has given a couple of different answers to this question. Most recently, he has said that his strong stance on immigration came from understanding that the people who carried out 9/11 were in the country on visas that maybe they shouldn't have had.
We had 19 individuals, all aliens. All of them came in legally, but then five of the 19 became illegal.
Kris Kobach grew up in Topeka. He was valedictorian of his high school class and went to Harvard. Then he went to Yale for law school, and he also has a PhD from Oxford. So he's a very educated man. And while he was at Harvard, he studied under a professor who had very extreme ideas on democracy.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that that professor is Samuel Huntington.
It is Samuel Huntington.
Who I interviewed.
Did you?
Yes.
So then, I mean, you know what his views are. He thinks that, I think he calls it the Latinoization of America, and he says that that's going to lead to like a downfall of American culture. And that person was Kris Kobach's mentor at Harvard. And so he has never said that this person shaped his views particularly radically. He's never claimed that, but they track pretty closely with the work that he did at Harvard under this professor.
So how does it happen when you're looking into the background of Kris Kobach that you start making some connections around anti-immigrant theoretical issues, and Kris Kobach actually making money off of some of the policies that he ends up basically creating, supporting.
Right. So his first real job with government was after George W. Bush got elected, he joined the Department of Justice. And what he did for the Department of Justice was create a system that tracked Muslim men of a certain age.
You mean this was the Muslim registry?
Mm-hmm.
That was Kris Kobach who created it.
Yeah, he was very involved in creating that and getting it off the ground.
Maybe some people might not remember. It was a very strange time in our country. It was post 9/11. And suddenly you have this policy from the George W. Bush administration saying that all men who come from Muslim, quote unquote, Muslim countries had to register with the federal government, with the FBI, and just make themselves known. So it was basically a religious registry.
Definitely. And the Obama administration ended it shortly after he took office, but it was in effect for the vast majority of the time that George W. Bush was in office. And so he leaves the DOJ and goes to work for a immigration group called the Federation for American Immigration Reform.
That would be FAIR.
FAIR, which is a very extreme group that advocates for limits on immigration and for radical alterations to refugee policies, among other things.
Maybe it's time to phase down immigration so we can phase Americans back in. Paid for by Federation for American Immigration Reform.
And so he went to work for them as an attorney, but he leaves there to become Secretary of State for Kansas. But during this whole time, he is also trying cases across the country for towns who want very radical immigration ordinances for their individual town.
Basically, what the ordinances do is require anybody who hires somebody else, not just employers, if you hire a maid or somebody to cut your lawn, you have to verify that that person has work authorization and is here legally. And if you're a landlord, you have to do the same for any kind of tenant.
Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Farmers Branch, Texas, Fremont, Nebraska, and Valley Park, Missouri.
As of today, anyone renting a house or apartment in Fremont must pay $5 for an occupancy permit, and only people in the country legally can get one.
These are all small towns whose demographics were shifting, and in some cases, not even for real. Like in Valley Park, Missouri, I think the Hispanic population went from like 1 to 3%, and that was enough to create this anti-immigration sentiment.
People are moving out and packing up and leaving, and it's having the desired effect that we wanted it to have.
What Kris Kobach did, in the opinion of the local people that we've talked to there who ended up sort of paying this person to do this work, was capitalize on that existing sentiment. Usually the ordinances were already on the books, and he helped them refine them and then defend them in court once they were sued.
We have this ruling here from the Eighth Circuit affirming something to do with immigration, which should be very important to folks. Tell me what's happened today.
Well, the city of Valley Park, Missouri just won a really important victory in the Eighth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. The city of Valley Park has an ordinance which prohibits employers from knowingly employing unauthorized alien workers. And the ACLU and other interests sued the city, and the city won in district court.
In Valley Park, the law technically was championed. He technically won in Valley Park in this like very narrow way. But because of the way that it was enforced, the city has never enforced it because they're afraid of getting sued again. Like, it wasn't such a victorious win that the city felt comfortable enforcing the law. So the law in Valley Parks is technically on the books, but the people who are there have told us, one, they've never enforced it, and two, they regret doing it. And so he took that, which is not that big of a win, went to Farmers Branch and went to a couple of other places and said, look what I did for Valley Park. I can do that for you too. And then he used that win to create confidence in these towns, or at least the appearance of confidence. And so they pressed forward, ended up spending more than $9 million, and their law was entirely struck down.
Leading a wonderful team of lawyers from the ACLU, from the Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund, we litigated this case for the past year. And what the judge found was that these ordinances are unconstitutional and cannot be enforced.
Like, we're not talking about towns the size of Dallas or the size of New York City. And that's what the mayor of Farmers Branch said to us. Like, it's not like they spent $9 million and they were like, oh, well. Like, they spent $9 million and that meant that they couldn't move forward with road construction. And so this was actually a material sacrifice on the part of these towns. The only person who appears to have really benefited from this is Chris Kobach. We have traced back all of the money that these cities directly paid Chris Kobach.
As a lawyer.
So over a decade, we know that he made at least $800,000.
So if you think now about, you know, that strategy earlier to what's happening in the United States right now, you know, what is the larger narrative that you see that's at play here in this moment in the United States when we have Donald Trump in the White House and directing a kind of particular perspective on policies regarding immigration?
You know, I think that prior to Trump getting elected and prior to Trump being as hardline on immigration as he has been, it was really easy to dismiss people like Chris Kobach. But now, those elements of the Republican Party are leading the country, and he has a much more impactful voice than he otherwise would. I think that we can learn from what he has told us he believes in. And now that he's potentially going to become governor of the state of Kansas, which will put him on an even higher platform. And he has, as he has said multiple times during the course of the campaign, a direct line to the president of the United States who listens to him. I think that that's really concerning for a lot of people. I think that it is a sign that radical elements of our country have sort of taken a much larger role, and we can no longer dismiss them.
Jessica, thank you so much for all of your reporting and for joining us on Latino USA.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Jessica Huseman is a journalist at ProPublica who covers national politics and civil rights. We did reach out to the Chris Kobach campaign for comment on the allegations in the ProPublica investigation, but we didn't hear back. Kobach told ProPublica, quote, "I believe in these cities and these ordinances and what they're doing. And so if there was some way I could help them, I did." This episode was produced by Maya Cueva and edited by Marlon Bishop. The Latino USA team includes Miguel Macias, Sofia Felisa Carr, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, Janice Yamoka, and Sayer Quevedo, with help from Fernanda Chavarri. Our engineer is Stephanie LeBeau. Additional engineering this week by Rebecca Weinman. Our production manager is Natalia Fidel-Holz. Our fellows are Virginia Lora and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our interns are Paula Mora and Comis Johnson. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. I'll see you there. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
This episode of NPR's Latino USA was made possible with support from the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Winecoat Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide.
I am from the South, and so every few weeks I get really homesick and make something like very Southern to eat. And my most recent endeavor was like a full Texas brisket, and it was excellent. Yeah.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stunned the Democratic Party by winning big in Queens as a 28-year-old college graduate bartender.
I don't aim to be a provocateur. It's just the truth is provocative.
We get to know the woman behind one of the biggest political upsets of the year. That's next time on Latino USA.
More than 20 years. That's how long Olympic gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar abused the girls and women who came to see him for treatment. Believed, a new podcast from Michigan Radio and NPR, digs into how he got away with it for so long.